Brother Larry has asked us to read from John 3, verses 10 to 21. John chapter 3, 10 to 21. So I've listened to Brother Ken's message this morning, and he reminded us the seriousness of being a Christian, living a consistent life, that our life needs to be real. I think days of the event today unfold, remind each one of us we don't know when our time is, and we need to live our lives for Christ and the best that we can. Okay, John chapter 3, starting with verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. At this time, all who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Thank Brother Nathan for his prayer on our behalf here tonight, each one of you. My heart's heavy. Along with the rest of you tonight. The events of the day. Spent many hours with Dale and Esther. My wife and I have on numerous occasions enjoyed the fellowship that we had experienced with them. Many times, and we talked a lot about scripture, we talked a lot about farming. It just was as mentioned before. As it shocked us, it was no shock to the Lord. He knew it was Dale's day. Just pray a blessing on the family. As they struggle to make sense of the events of the day and move forward, trusting that they'll put their complete trust and confidence in the Lord, and I know they will. For a while tonight, we want to look at the subject of this little light of mine. Probably one of the first songs we've learned in our childhood in Sunday school was "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." We're going to look at the beauty of light tonight. I don't know how it is with many of you, but not too many years ago, I didn't need to wear glasses at all. Somewhere around the 40-year-old mark, I guess it was, I started to get a little fuzzy when things started to get a little blurry when I read. And I was at the doctor about that time when things started to show up a little blurry and fuzzy, and I mentioned it to him. I didn't know if I thought he could give me something for it or what, but he kind of smiled and he said, "Well, you're at that age," he said, "get yourself a pair of reading glasses." So I did, and what a help. As time went on, I needed to get a stronger pair, and then a stronger pair. Now I enjoy having a little extra light on what I'm reading, along with my stronger reading glasses. And I know many of you know all about that. Some of you may not, but might experience it in the future. But probably one of the most powerful and effective analogies in Scripture is that difference between light and darkness. It comes to us throughout the New Testament. In Romans 1:21, it talks about the darkness of mankind. And it says there in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Your spiritual darkness is so much more than the absence of light. In John 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That word "comprehend" there means to lay hold of or seize, as in understanding. The world can't comprehend or understand that great light. The world that can't see Christ really can't see anything with clarity. And thus we have the world we live in today that keeps going further and further downhill. The fact is that the lost world around us lives in total darkness. And the first thing we want to look at about light is that it shines. The job of light is to illuminate darkness. Light is proactive. It dispels darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. But light is not necessarily the absence of darkness, as we'll see as we go along. Light can penetrate and dispel darkness. Light overcomes darkness, but darkness cannot overcome light. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I was impressed as I listened to the message this morning Brother Ken gave as to how closely associated our messages were here that the Lord put together for us. Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, the story is told of an old tight-fisted farmer who was taking his hired hand to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to see his girlfriend. "Why," he said, "when I went courting, I never carried one of those things. I just walked in the dark." "Yes," said the hired man wryly, "and look what you got." It can lead to some regrettable consequences. In Matthew 5, Jesus said in that passage that we are to be the light of the world and that we need to shine out as lights in the darkness. What then is that source of light that is in us to shine out? Jesus told his disciples in John 9:5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now we know that Jesus ascended to the Father, and that he is no longer bodily with us in the world, but he tells us in John 8:12 that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This light is the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 1:9 says that that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light of life shines so brightly and with such a powerful beam that it can light every man that cometh into the world, bar none. It is that powerful. And if an individual sees and recognizes that light and receives that light, verse 12 of John 1 says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If we recognize and receive that light, we become part of the family of God, and that light illuminates our way. Reading from John 1, the first four verses, it says there that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I believe it's telling us there that God's Word is that light, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter 1:19, we read there that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. He is that light, and I know that we all understand that, but the switch to that light, I think, for every individual person is in his heart. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. It's when we see and recognize and receive that light that the switch is actually turned on. We need to be responsible to receive that light and to turn the switch on and let that light flow from us. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." This light is pure light. And so pure and so bright is this light that one ray of it, I believe, I'm not sure of the exact wording there in Acts, but one beam of it blinded the Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus when the Lord shone the bright light about him. We pay attention to that light as it comes to us. Psalm 119:130 says that the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It's the Word of God that gives light. It doesn't matter who we are, it gives understanding to the simple, it says there. It doesn't matter who we are, or even who we think we are, rich or poor, or educated or uneducated, the light shines the same for everybody. It doesn't matter of our social status. A very familiar verse is Psalm 119:105, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as we recognize that light and receive it and let it guide us, as we go along our journey in life, it illuminates areas of weakness in our lives and brings them to our attention in a very vivid way, I believe. Proverbs 6:23 says that the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So I think this light of life that shines, it has drawing power, it has power to inspire. It has power to reprove. It has power to correct. And it has power to instruct. Jesus said in Revelation 22:16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." He says, "I am the bright and morning star." 1 John 1:5, the Apostle John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." With God, it is an absolute, total absence of darkness. And as Christians, that should be our goal, to let that light shine in our hearts, that there be no darkness at all. It seems to be the struggle that we all fight as we go through life, that we have dark spots that need lit up and taken out of our heart. The next thing is we want to look at light as reflected. Has anybody ever seen the light of the moon? I guess we can actually say that we really haven't. But what we do see is the light of the sun reflecting off the moon, and that's the way it should work for us as well. The light that comes into to us is that light that lighteth up every man that comes into the world, Jesus Christ, and it is to have us so lit up to the point that it is reflected in us. Each one of us should radiate that life, that light, to a dark world around us. We should be lit up that well. Jesus said that ye are the light of the world. The fact is, if we fail to shine, people are going to perish in darkness. We are to be like John, the forerunner of Christ. And we read about him in John 1, verses 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And I think each one of you as children of God are sent to bear witness of that light. What an awesome challenge. As we think about that, we are sent to bear witness of that light, to reflect that true light and to never let it go out. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then further down in Matthew 10, verse 27, he says, What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And I believe Jesus is telling us there, if something is revealed to you or I as we study the scripture, tell it like it is. Tell it like it's written. Speak it in the light. And what you hear that corresponds with scripture, declare it boldly to all for others to hear. Declare it from the housetops. And I tell you tonight, just as Brother Ken mentioned this morning, we can't declare it if we don't live it out in our daily lives. Our testimony is ruined if we don't have a testimony of light as we go about our day-to-day activities and responsibilities. Ephesians 5:8 says that you were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's a command for us as God's people, to walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 also says, Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. In other words, live like you walk in the light. We will not and cannot reflect light if we are in darkness. When we recognize and receive that light and it shines in our hearts, we have, could I say, like a dimmer switch in our hearts. The more light we let in, the more it's going to reflect out and radiate from us. And it's up to us to control that dimmer switch. And I'd pray that each one of us would turn it up. I believe the more we study the Word, the more light is revealed to us. 2 Corinthians 4:6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And again, I say, the more we study, the more light is revealed. The more we're into the Word, the more we're going to see and experience the light that will be our guide to our path. Our witness, I believe, will only be as effective as the degree to which we reflect the image of Christ. We all know that light is important. It's needed, and it's not to be hid. Luke 11:33-36 says that no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in might see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Again, speaking of a heart without any dark areas. If thy whole body, thy whole heart is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. I remember walking through the woods at night with the children at times with a bright flashlight. I would shine the light behind me as much as I did in front of me to light the way for them to follow. The fact is that light is not to be hid, but to be shown so that others can see, to reflect, so that they might come to the light. That light, I believe, is what we need to focus on. Just like walking through the woods, we're not to be looking around at what's around the ray of light when we're walking. If we want to keep our body in the light, we got to keep focused on the light and walk in it. If we shine the light off to the side and walk down through the woods in the dark, according to the scripture we just read, our whole body is full of darkness. What's the use to carry the light? But we need to walk in the light and let it reflect from us. We are to walk in pure light. Ephesians 5, 6 to 13 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." I believe one of the ways that darkness can creep into a heart that has light in it is through deception. We need to beware of being deceived. Many places in Scripture we are told, "Be not deceived." God's wrath is poured out on deceivers. One of the ways that light is reflected to a dark world around us is to love the people of God, the people of the church. Jesus said, "It's by this, that all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." 1 John 1, 6 and 7 tells us that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's important to have good fellowship with brethren and sisters of like faith in the church. I remember a number of years ago, there was a conservative brother who worked at a local feed mill, and often we were there to get feed ground. He'd be complaining about someone in the church, what they did or what they didn't do, or what they should have done or what they shouldn't have done, and in front of other people. And many times I had to think, if you want to ruin a church's reputation, that's a good way to do it in the community. And I believe another way Satan works to bring the church down is to have church members speak derogatively of other church members. And again, I think it's something that happens way too often. We need to be careful when we start down that path that we ourselves are walking in the light. And if we walk in the light, this verse says in 1 John 1, 7, "As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and we will not speak negatively or derogatively about other brethren and sisters and some of the things that we may not quite agree with them on." Again, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, he says, "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." If we have love for each other, we are abiding in the light. Verse 10 says, "And there is none occasion of stumbling in us. But if there is any kind of bitterness or hatred in our heart toward another brother, we walk in darkness, and know not whither we go, because the darkness is blinding our eyes." And I think it's because of that darkness, we can say, is not necessarily the total absence of light, but the unwillingness to recognize the light by being blinded by the darkness around it. Have you ever been in a cave and seen blind salamanders? wander around. I guess they have figured out what they're doing, but the reason they're blind is because they live in continual darkness. And I'm sure many of you have been in a cave, and one of the things I think is probably pretty much a standard of the guides when you're in a cave, to get you down in there in a lighted path and then shut the lights off and tell you how dark it is. It's the darkest dark known to man. So they say in one occasion when Lori and I were in a cave in Virginia there, we were down in the cave and the guy shut the lights out. And he said, in fact, it's that dark, I'll bet you can't find your nose with your thumb. And of course, who's going to see you? It's dark. So he flipped the light back on, and I'd say 85% of us were standing around like this. He said, I got you that time. But it is dark. Total darkness. And light acts as a warning also. You know, there are seemingly those who want to be blind to the truth. Jesus talked about them in Matthew 23, verse 17, down through 25. We won't read all those verses, but he says there, you fools and blind, whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? In verse 19, ye fools and blind, whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? You know, there are those that make big issues out of nothing and stir up others, even in church settings, over trivial matters, and yet leave the serious things overlooked. He says in verse 24 there of Matthew 23, ye blind guides, which strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter within. They are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You see, it's important to the Lord that pure light, His pure light, is reflected from a pure heart. Jesus says about those that are willingly blind in Matthew 15 and verse 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. So light acts as a warning against spiritual blindness. Some of the verses that were read in the opening, verse 16 to 21 of John chapter 3, I'll just reread some of them. It's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Light serves as a warning, and it shines bright enough that it shines into the hearts and consciences of men, and they hate the light because their deeds were evil. If we love the light, let the light in, that our deeds may be manifest. That word condemnation comes from the Greek word krisis, where we get our English word crisis. And the fact is, if we're in darkness, we are in a crisis. And if we die in darkness, we're in a worse crisis. There is no greater crisis than for a person to be lost. There's an old story of a lighthouse keeper who worked a rocky stretch of shoreline and received his new supply of oil once a month to keep the lighthouse light burning. He wasn't far from shore, and because of that, he had frequent guests. And one night, a woman from a village begged some oil to keep her family warm. Another time, a father asked for some to use in his lamp, and another needed some to lubricate a wheel. And since all the requests seemed legitimate, the lighthouse keeper tried to please everyone and granted them all their oil. Toward the end of the month, he noticed that his supply of oil was getting pretty low. Soon it was gone, and the beacon light went out. Because that light was out, several ships were wrecked and lives were lost. And when the authorities investigated the situation, the man was very repentant. But to his excuses and pleading, their reply was simply, "You were given the light for one purpose, you were given the oil for one purpose, and that is to keep the light burning. That was your responsibility." And I think we as God's children need to keep in the forefront of our minds the fact that that light needs to first illuminate our hearts before it can be reflected to others. And we need to be careful not to become complacent or lax in our own journey and let that light continually light the way for us so that it can reflect pure light to those around us. Even we as a church body are a lighthouse to all the lost people around us in this community. Their lives are in crisis because they're lost. We must be that light that brings them to Christ, the true, pure source of light. The Lord bless you tonight.
Our Sunday school lessons this past year, we studied questions from the Bible. One we did not study is found in John 11. It's a question that Jesus asked Martha. And as we go home this evening, I'll ask you that question and challenge you with it. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Then he asked her, "Do you believe it?" It's something you can challenge yourself with as you go home this evening. Do you believe it? Shall we kneel for prayer?